Scottsdale.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
This is Tech Talk with your host, Tom DiOria. Tom will spend the next hour making your life with technology a little easier with explanations of the different aspects of today's technology and how it can benefit your home, small office, or enterprise. Now here's your host, Tom DiOria.
Welcome to IMI's Tech Talk. On this, the second Sunday of December, December 10th. Hope you're all back from shopping for the holidays. We're on at 5 p.m. in the New York listening area and 3 p.m. in Arizona. And today we're in our New York offices, and we're going to be discussing a very interesting topic, Windows PowerShell. We're going to be talking about the quick reference with author Lee Holmes, and we're looking forward to that. It's a new topic for us on the show. I'm Tom DiOria. I'm the CEO of Information Methods Incorporated. And together with our weekly guest, our show will help the small to medium-sized business and home technology users make better use of all aspects of technology. Just in case you're a first-time listener, in our first segment, Tech Talk provides you with a review of last week's most significant events in technology. We start with our increased coverage of New York's technology scene, and we follow this with our industry-wide report, which could contain information on conferences, announcements by vendors, new releases of software equipment, or new contract opportunities. One or more guests usually follow this for many aspects of business and industry. And if you wish us to consider a topic for a future show, you can email your suggestions to TechTalk, that's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, at imi-us.com, and we'll get back to you pretty quickly. Anytime after our show introduction, please give us a call or send an email message with questions on today's topic or anything else we might be able to help you with. You can call us at 277-KFNX, that's 277-5369. And you can call us toll-free if you're outside the 602 listening area at 866-536-1100. Use that email address I just gave you, techtalk@imi-us.com, to show. And for future reference, we're being simulcast on the web, so if you can't get to a radio and you have to listen to us, you can go to our website, which is imi-us.com, or to KFNX's website, which is 1100KFNX.com. So please call in any time during the show, and we'll get you on as quickly as possible. Our first segment is our Week in Review, their increased coverage of technology events in New York and around the world. It's compiled by Dave Brandon and Jose Batista. Now we're going to take a break. As I mentioned to you, we're going to be talking to you about Windows PowerShell and Lee Holmes' quick reference. He'll explain to us what that's all about, why it's something that you may want to consider. This is Tom DiOria. We're live on KFNX AM 1100, and we're going to be right back after these messages, so please stay tuned. Welcome back to IMI's Tech Talk on this Sunday, December 10th, 2006. Hopefully your shopping is all done for the holidays. This is Tom DiOria. We're on KFNX AM 1100 on IMI's Tech Talk. And before the break, I told you that we're going to bring a guest talking to you about Windows PowerShell, and our guest is Lee Holmes. He is a developer on the Microsoft Windows PowerShell team and already spends quite a bit of his time explaining the technology to Microsoft customers through his blog, which is leeholmes.com/blog. His vast experience with Windows PowerShell allows him to integrate both the how and the why into discussions, both of which we are quite interested in. He got into PowerShell because he is something of a tool hound. Like many on the team, he has a strong background in Unix and always yearned for that command line power on Windows. The 4NT shell comes close, and a number of other products come closer, but this product, which was we found in our research called Monad, and hopefully that's pronounced correctly, made Lee realize that the game was about to change. Aside from technology, he also loves to write. In addition to computer science in university, he also majored in professional writing. Lee, thank you for spending the time with us. We really appreciate it.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so let's get right to it. What is PowerShell, and why should our listeners be interested?
As you sort of brought up in your introduction, PowerShell is a response to a definite need on the Windows platform to have a shell that lets people be much more efficient and powerful, hence the name. It's officially the next generation management shell and scripting language. And so the question is, what does that mean? And so sort of depends on two types of people. One person is the Windows administrator, you know, the person who manages Windows machines for a living, and up until now they've not really had the amount of attention paid to them that you would like. So in Unix, the way things go is that everything tends to be text files, and the whole system is very, very manageable. And that just hasn't been an important part of Windows, and that's something that we wanted to change.
So you feel that PowerShell does that? What about VBScript and Perl and Ruby? How do they fit into this whole picture?
Those are powerful languages, and up until now, they have been the only way to administer a system. And there's sort of two aspects to it. So one aspect is that they are not at all geared towards interactive use. So an important part to remember is the stuff that you've written in Perl or VBScript or Ruby, you know, the stuff you've written to administer little bits of your system, that doesn't need to go away. So PowerShell is not a throw away everything you've learned and move on to this new sparkly technology. We really, really value the interop with the stuff you've done before, and no move in technology is wise just for the sake of moving. Now, PowerShell does offer some unique things. Like I was mentioning, is that it's designed primarily as an interactive shell. So you sit there. If you've ever used a DOS shell before, or a Unix command shell, you can sit there and you sort of just type in dir, and that lists all the files in your directory. And that kind of concept is very, very, very core to interacting with your system and managing it. The kind of power, though, isn't exposed through VBScript or Python or Ruby. You know, they tend to have extensions that allow some tasks to be easier, but it's not as simple as dir. Or they don't cater to interactive use like shortcut keys. They don't allow you to make your own tweaks in the language. So let's say there's a part of VBScript that you don't really like. You wish you didn't have to do a certain name for a certain task that you want to do. Well, PowerShell allows you to create aliases that will, if you like typing something with three letters instead of this big long command, then you make it happen. And
makes it pretty friendly.
It makes it pretty friendly, and the big thing is it makes it customizable. And, you know, another big benefit, and this is really one of the strongest benefits of PowerShell over traditional shells and also over some of these scripting languages, is that the whole experience is really, really strongly rooted in the .NET framework. So traditionally you've got a system where in Unix, for example, or DOS, let's say you do dir, right? And so the directory listing will actually generate just a sort of a text stream of the files in your directory. Same thing happens in Unix, and when you want to start managing those, that's when it gets difficult. So on Unix systems, people love the power of these text parsing tools. So grep is a tool that will tell you, let's say, what lines in the output match, you know, something you're looking for. And there's other tools that have grown around in it, and people like them for the power. A lot of those tools don't exist on Windows, which is, you know, one of the things we wanted to fix, is make those scenarios work. And but even at that, having to parse all this text is really tough, because what happens is when you're doing a directory listing, at one point the system actually has all the information about those files, but then it goes and it just strips it down to this bare plain text format. And then if you want to do things like sort it based on something, or if you want to delete a file, you know, the third file in that listing, then you need to start taking it back out of that text format and bringing it back into a format that you can manage. And where Windows PowerShell improves that is everything that PowerShell does is objects. So you do a directory listing, and it's really generating this big old list of file objects. So if you take, you know, the first item from there, you still have the full management that you had to start with. So that file object, once you have it, you can call a delete method, for example. You can say file.delete, and that will just take that first object and let you delete it. Or you can filter based on how big the file is, or if it's read-only, or some of these really things that seem like they should be easy, but when you're just dealing with a text report, really ends up becoming difficult.
You're right. I mean, it's really not only customizable, but pretty user-friendly. How long has it been out? I know it's got under some names. In the introduction, we called it Monad. I hope that's the correct pronunciation.
Yep.
It was called, I think, the Microsoft Command Shell as well. How long has it been around? How long have people been using it?
We've actually been in a pretty unique situation. So, as the saying goes, don't install anything from Microsoft until V3. And, we've been lucky that the product has been in beta and incubation for quite a while, and we've had a truly great benefit of a really great community that's built up around the betas. We first really introduced it a couple of years ago at the Microsoft Professional Developers Conference, and that's when it became publicly available. People downloaded it from this place called Beta Place and started using it, and it really took off like fire. It's one of the few things, for example, that's generally been accepted very well by the /dot crowd. They're typically anti-Microsoft, very, very pro-Unix, and that crowd ends up being some of the most passionate adopters. They see that all of a sudden on Windows they have this power that they're used to on the Unix command shell, and then they realize, oh my God, I've got more, and then they go, I really wish we could get this sort of power back into Unix or the Bash or Corn shell. And so it's been around for a while now. We actually had our official release to web, RTW, our 1.0 product, about 2 weeks ago. And already we've seen just lots and lots of people downloading it and writing about it and being really excited about it.
Well, that's great. We're going to take a break right now. Got a lot of questions to ask you about PowerShell. This is Tom DiOrio on IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. We're speaking with Lee Holmes about Windows PowerShell, and he's one of the developers of the Microsoft Windows PowerShell team. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages, so please stay tuned.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
Welcome back to IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. This is Tom DiOrio. And we're speaking with Lee Holmes about a very interesting topic, Windows PowerShell. And we're going to get to his quick reference in a little while. But before the break, Lee was telling us about 2 weeks ago, version 1.0 was released to the web, and that the reaction was very positive because people have been using it for a while now in beta. Where do I get it? Do I go? I go to the Microsoft website and find it. And the second half of that question is, what Windows operating systems are supported by PowerShell?
Okay, so the first part is the easiest URL to remember is Microsoft.com/PowerShell, and from there it does a redirect onto our official PowerShell homepage. And there's like just tons of resources on there. One of the links is on how to actually download it, and so from there you click and decide what operating system it is. And so PowerShell runs on Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, and Vista. Currently, since Vista just released, the only supported PowerShell download we have for that is for the Vista Release Candidate 1. We're working really hard by the end of January to have the official PowerShell out for the RTM version of Vista, which relatively few people actually have access to. It's something right now that's available only to MSDN subscribers and a select other few people.
Do you believe or do you know? I assume you know. Because we got asked this question when people knew that we were going to be doing this, And is it going to be bundled with Windows Vista?
No, PowerShell installs as a Windows component, but it is a separate component.
Okay.
Sorry, it's designed to be a part of Windows in the future, but sort of the time frame is unknown.
Okay. And the other question we have is are there specific processor architectures that support this, or will it run on anything?
We run on both traditional x86 and 64-bit.
Is it going to cost me anything?
No, it's a free download. One of the things I wanted to mention in terms of the platform support is that PowerShell as a management application can run on the operating systems I was saying before. But you can continue to manage other operating systems with it using technologies that you've used in the past. So currently you might use WMI, which is probably one of the most popular way to manage the systems, or you might have some VB scripts that manage remote systems. So if you've got a Windows 2000 server that you're managing with applications already, you can continue to use those to manage the remote systems, although you know the PowerShell shell that you actually run and administer from is the one that needs to be Windows XP or 2003 or Vista.
That's interesting. Is that a new way of doing things for Microsoft, or is that something that's pretty standard?
When you're a management product, it's a little bit different. So, you know, a lot of times you're going to have a box, you know, a system that's just sitting there, and you're not going to upgrade that system necessarily. That's serving you well, and so you want to make sure that you can still manage those. And the truth be told is that you're just never going to have all of your machines running on a single operating system. It's just a reality in the aspect of managing a lot of computers. And so it's important for us to say that you can manage the infrastructure that you have. And one of the main goals of PowerShell is to reduce how much it costs to own and manage a Windows system.
And okay. Can we switch gears?
Yep.
Because I don't want to run out of time. We've got a few minutes left in this segment, and then in the last segment, I really wanted to get into your book. Can you tell us about the PowerShell quick reference?
Yeah, so one of the things that often comes up is when you're learning a new technology, if you've got some sort of comfort with other technologies, you want to ask these questions like, you know, how do I store the results of an operation into a variable. How do I do X? Or what is the PowerShell way to define a hash table? Sort of programming or administrative concepts that you might already be used to in VB or Ruby or Python or Perl. You just want to know the PowerShell way to do that. And so one of the main aspects of the PowerShell quick reference is to really just dive into immediate detail on these things. It's not a slow introduction. It's not a guided tour. It's just, here's the raw facts. Here's how to make a function. Here's how to make a script. For the person who just is using PowerShell or pretty good with programming in general. But the second thing, set of things it introduces are some really core references. For example, how to do regular expressions in .NET. And as I mentioned before, PowerShell really does integrate very, very well with .NET. And when you're doing text matching or some other things, you're going to want to have a good regular expression reference that's PowerShell-centric.
Is the .NET framework required to run PowerShell or not?
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. PowerShell runs on top of .NET Framework 2.0.
So I have to download that if I don't have that already?
Yeah, it's something that many, many people have. It's on Windows Update already, and it's it's where Microsoft is going with applications. And another thing that the quick reference provides is when you start using PowerShell and using some of its .NET features, you realize that there is just a huge amount of stuff you can do out there using parts of the .NET framework. And when you begin to enter that area, you start to think, well, this .NET framework is huge. What exactly do I want to use from it? And so part of the quick reference is dedicated to explaining the useful parts in the .NET framework that you might want to use as a system administrator or a power user, as opposed to things that you would only really want to use if you're developing, you know, some application.
Now, is the quick reference online, or is it a book that I go to the store and buy?
It's a PDF available through O'Reilly's Shortcuts program. And
where do I go to get that?
Well, what I can do is put up a blog post, and I'll reference a bunch of good information about how to get started and how to download the quick reference. Because there really is an amazing amount of content out there for PowerShell. Since it is been around so long, there's blogs and news groups and massive, delicious bookmark repository and our TechNet Script Center. And there's really a lot of content out there for somebody who wants to get started.
Okay, and you have a blog, leeholmes.com/blog?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and that's where we should send everybody?
Yep. I'll put up a post there that discusses, you know, how you can get started with it. And another interesting thing, too, is that PowerShell is extremely rare product in that the quality of the documentation it ships with is just stunning. When you install it, you get three documents with it. One is like this getting started that just gives you a nice brief overview of PowerShell. There's a quick reference, which is sort of like my quick reference, but it's three pages, so it doesn't get to go as deep as mine. And then there's a user guide, which is, you know, essentially a small book. And you really don't see products do that nowadays, where you can just sit down, start up your PowerShell prompt, and start reading through and just have fun. Like I mentioned before, we really, really support backwards compatibility. So if you have a batch script you use, or if you're used to, let's say, using the ipconfig program in Windows or something, you can continue to run those in PowerShell. And we just, if it's a batch script, we tell Windows Batch Interpreter to do it for us. We don't re-implement all that stuff. But it really is something where you can just jump in and type dir and cd and navigate around and have fun.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is Tom Dior on IMI's KFNX AM 1100 Tech Talk. And we're speaking to Lee Holmes about Windows PowerShell and the quick reference. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Welcome back to IMI's Tech Talk on this December 10th, 2006. We're talking to Lee Holmes about Windows PowerShell quick reference. We're on KFNX AM 1100, and this is IMI's Tech Talk. And Lee was just telling us about where to get more information, and he's going to put up something on his blog, which is leeholmes.com/blog. So you can find out a lot more about this. We've got some questions we want to ask Lee that we got either from our listeners or the staff pulled together. One of them is that a question about why you can't run scripts when you first install PowerShell. Is that something that we should be worried about?
It's one of the things that really differentiates PowerShell. In today's world, scripting viruses are just a total pain, and it's caused, for example, corporations to literally lock down and say no VB script can be run on my enterprise, since there was all these, you know, I love you viruses going out and all that, and from people who didn't love you. And so what we've done with PowerShell is when you first install it, we allow you to run commands interactively, you know, navigate around your computer, but if you write your own script and you want to start using it, already you're in sort of this upper echelon of people. You know, if you imagine that this thing is installed in Windows, the number of people that are going to actually install and run a script are very, very low. And so what we do is we have what's called an execution policy that simply says, no, we're not going to run this script, And then it points you to our help documentation, which is really, really detailed on it. And what most people are going to want to do is change this policy to a mode that's called remote signed. And
that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the PowerShell, the help, when you say get help, and it's called about signing. When you type in that, it gives a brief overview, and it says to change it, and it gives you the command. It's called set execution policy. And what that will happen when you set it to remote signed, if you've edited a script locally, you made your own script, and you go to edit it and run it, we'll let that run. Now, if you download it from Internet Explorer or Outlook or one of these other sort of internet-facing programs, you get the same sort of experience that you do when you try to run a program from the internet, you know, in Windows XP. So you download a program, you try to run it, and Windows prompts you and says, oh, this is from the internet. Are you sure you want to do this? We apply the same concept to scripts. If you download a script from the internet, you try to run it, and it asks you, are you sure you want to run this? It's from the internet, and it goes on and asks you about that. But generally, for most people, the remote signed policy is the best, because you'll never download scripts unless you're getting into the power user stuff.
Are there any Windows PowerShell scripts available?
Oh, there's gobs.
Where can we go to get them?
The TechNet Script Center, I'll be linking to that from my blog post, talks about how to get introduced into PowerShell, and does administrators right now have grown up using VB to manage their systems and stuff. What they've done is they've translated those scripts into PowerShell using a very VB-like way. So you can see, oh, I can run PowerShell. I can run these PowerShell scripts, and it's really not so different than what I'm used to in VB. Now, there are ways when you start learning PowerShell that you can do some of these scripts more easily or with like less code, but there are a lot of scripts there. And also, like I've been mentioning, there's a lot of activity happening on the internet in terms of bloggers writing about it, and you'll find lots and lots of scripts that people have written to solve a certain task. And in general, if you're wondering how to do something, you can generally type in PowerShell and then, you know, get files or, you know, something you're looking to do. And when it comes to the internet, as you had mentioned earlier, one of the code names of PowerShell was Monad. And it was a very long beta, so there's a lot of historical stuff out there that people have written that works in PowerShell, maybe with some minor changes that was originally, you know, for example, the blog post might have been Monad and Active Directory. So, you know, if you're looking for something for PowerShell, you can often try Monad as well and get some additional topics.
Okay. If our listeners check out your quick reference, I'm sure there are some books already out there on PowerShell, and they're still having some difficulty. Are there any training resources that they can have a little bit more formal training?
Yeah, there's actually there's a few. There's a PowerShell team blog, which I'll also link to from my blog post. And one of the recent posts does discuss some official PowerShell training. It's an industry that, as a PowerShell team, we're not going to be the ones doing it, but, you know, we actively support companies and, you know, vendors that want to offer PowerShell training. And, you know, a lot of the time people are really looking for a way to sort of sit back and not necessarily actively learn. They want to sit there and, you know, watch somebody talking about PowerShell. And we do have a lot of resources available already out there for that. So on Microsoft's Channel 9 site, which I can link to as well, there's a couple of videos on PowerShell where you can go and watch our architect, Jeffrey Snover, demonstrate it and show you how to use it. There's also, we have some webcasts and some screencasts, and so you can get some of that sort of passive teaching without having to necessarily go to some training specifically.
Hey, we've heard that there's a PowerShell scripting contest. Can you tell us what that's about? Who's sponsoring that?
That's Microsoft sponsoring that. It's running through our TechNet Script Center, and the idea is that you just submit scripts that solve your needs, and we'll At the end of the contest, we're going to find out, randomly pick a winner's script, and you know, as long as it meets the quality bar, and the prizes are really quite good. There's an Xbox, and there's a trip down to Redmond to meet PowerShell team, and you know, it's really quite a good contest for getting to play with PowerShell and getting rewarded for it too.
You really need to be an expert to have a chance?
No, you don't. It's sort of the minimum bar would be something that maybe isn't in our help documentation. We're not looking for these crazy one-liners or anything esoteric. We're looking for things that sort of you use to solve your problems. And it's not merit-based, although some people would like to have a merit-based competition, but that sort of becomes a different beast altogether. Right now, this is you submit your useful PowerShell script and you enter a draw.
Oh, terrific. Change gears a little bit here. Somebody told us about a worm that targeted PowerShell in August. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am. It's one of those funny things that just took off on the internet but really had nothing doing with it. A scripting language or a programming language or anything that's meant to have any power needs to be able to work with text files. And so there's been the PowerShell worm that used PowerShell's abilities to work with text files. And the important thing is that none of this worm would never have run on PowerShell. If you got this thing on your system somehow and you tried to run it, it just would not have run. The PowerShell security policies would have prevented you from running the script, and then you would have had to go and say, oh, wait, I trust this script and review it, and it's not one of those things where it's just sort of fire and forget and you're owned. It was, in order to get this thing to run, you really had to usher it into your system very carefully, go through a lot of prompts and a lot of complaints, and then finally you could run it, and at that point you're pretty much, you know, you're running code that you said you trusted. And if we didn't have the ability to do what that script did, which is manage text files, then PowerShell wouldn't be a very useful thing at all. And it's something that happens with every new technology. People get pleased that they can write the first .NET virus, even though .NET's a programming language, and you would hope that it can manage text files, or the first Ruby virus, and you're thinking, Ruby's a programming language, you would hope it could manage text files. And so really, it was something that...
It was a proof of concept, right, Worm? So it wasn't really maliciously attacking anything.
Well, even if it was designed to be malicious, it wouldn't have done anything. You know, the proof of concept is just a minor thing, right?
It's minor unless they're actually proving a concept to themselves.
Right, unless they're teaching themselves how to do it. But the important thing to know is that it was a script that manages text files, which is exactly what you want any powerful language to do, and it would not have run because of PowerShell security. It really required a lot of manual intervention to get it running on your system.
We really appreciate you being with us. Can you give our listeners your blog again so they can get in touch with you if they have any further questions?
Yep, it's leeholmes.com/blog. That's LeeHolmes.
Terrific. We really appreciate you being with us. And just ask that you hang on the line here because we have some questions for you after the show. Next week, we'll again be live on our New York offices with our Week in Review. And our special guest is going to be Roger Grimes discussing Windows Vista security. I want to thank Terry Ruggiero, IMI's President, David Brandon, and Jose Batista for our Week in Review, and especially our executive producer, Matt Campagni, and our producer, Tyler Moore. Thanks again for listening, and please don't forget to tune in to Tech Talk next week at 5 p.m. in New York on KFNX AM 1100. Great week, and a happy holiday.
CNN Radio, I'm Mary Ellen Hopkins.